The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
Faith, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. How you doing, babe?
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Well, the reason I have my wife on the podcast today is I want to react to a video that Tucker Carlson did, and it's a small little kind of a soundbite. It's a couple-minute soundbite, and I wanted to have the most successful stay-at-home mom, homeschooling mom that has raised a brilliant next generation to help our country move forward in the direction that it needs to go. So if you're looking for hope and change, we are looking to the next generation. We are not looking for a political solution. Anyway, so that's why I had Faith on. So I figure we could open up with this 3 or 4 minute clip here, hopefully on my tech.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I know you're on a pharmacy, but no. I just go.
No, and my thing is medications should not be the solution.
No.
They're the last option on the table.
Yeah.
We first have to take the time to deep dive and understand. And when you say, walk me through a patient life, a 40-year-old woman comes into a clinic. She's tired. She's exhausted. She's raising a family. She's working a job. She's trying to be superwoman, be everything to everyone.
That's right.
She goes in there. She's gained weight. She's tired, exhausted, doesn't sleep well, riddled with anxiety and stress. She's going to leave there on 4 or more prescription medicines.
That's totally right.
Because that's how the system was built. But if you were to come into a practice that is proactive, predictive, and preventative, that is truly trying to help you, you're going to spend an hour with that clinician. We're going to do a deep dive. We're going to look at your blood work, your biomarkers, your hormones. We're going to do an EEG to assess your brain health, your neurons. Is there anything going on here that's causing the noise, the static, the stress, the anxiety? We're going to talk to you about magnesium and supplements that maybe you're deficient in your diet because our food sources are crap now. And we're going to help dial all those things in. I can't tell you how many patients we've helped just through supplementing products like magnesium and zinc. We're all chronically deficient on so many minerals. It's not about a drug. Like magnesium, zinc, sunlight, and sodium can probably solve a huge amount of our anxiety in this country.
I totally believe that. But I also think that
nature.
Big, well, that is absolutely true. And dogs. But there are structural problems too. If you're a mother of a bunch of small kids and you have to work to support your family, there's something wrong with our economy. I mean, that's totally unnatural. It's totally unnatural. And by the way, no person can pull that off adequately. I don't care what anybody says, and I'm sick of lying about it. It's absolutely impossible to have a full-time job and be a full-time mom to small kids. It's just not enough time. Doesn't matter how hard you try, how brilliant you are. I think there are a lot of super hardworking moms, but there's just not enough time in the day to pull that off. So that was not the state of play the year I was born. People who had kids, you know, and were married, they could get by on one income.
100%. And the system has failed Americans in so many ways.
So that's what I wanted to respond and react to. And I figured that we could speak to this pretty well because we have some history here and we've been a single income home.
It's true.
20 plus years.
Yes.
Give or take. And just so that y'all have a little bit of histrionics and background, my wife does have a degree and she did work outside of the home and she made really good money at what she did and all that kind of good stuff. And then about when Matt was
born,
we decided that you were going to come home and raise our children and I was going to man up and cut the mustard and bring home the bacon. Then, so we did that. And then when we made our strategic relocation to Texas, we kind of made a promise to each other that regardless of our financial financial circumstances, even though that you had a ability with your degree in the field you were in to make a very good income right out the gate, we kind of promised each other that we were not going to resort to that. Because of the decisions that we've made, we kind of started life over again almost 11 years ago now. And by the grace of God, you have maintained your stay-at-home mother status, your domestic goddess engineer status, and you've done a brilliant job raising 6 children, homeschooling them. They're all brilliant in many aspects in their own rights, and it's thanks to their mother. And that can only be accomplished with time and attention. And little bit more background on me. Prior to being in construction, I was a financial planner for 11 years, and we spent large portions of our time doing financial analysis to dual income, no kids, like plenty of dinks, and then plenty of homes with, you know, a blue one and a pink one and a picket fence and a dog and a cat and all that stuff. And every time we would analyze somebody's financial position, we could demonstrably show them that if the wife didn't work, regardless of how much money she was making, if the wife didn't work, they would actually keep more money between savings for auto, additional auto, auto insurance, different types of insurance coverages, daycare, private school, or public school with aftercare programs that you have to pay for, and all that stuff. We were able to demonstrate 99% of the time that if there was a husband and a wife, they would actually keep more money if just the father or the husband would work. And I know that a lot of that is cognitive dissonance in this egalitarian, complementarian sphere as we've tried to deconstruct and then reconstruct the postmodern West in the image of Baphomet or whatever. But I thought we could kind of talk about this. I think it's very interesting that you have this Tucker Carlson, who's worth $500 million. And he comes from kind of like an aristocracy of a background. But yeah, he talks like a very down-to-earth fella.
Yeah.
And
great personality.
Great personality. And I think it's kind of interesting how he tries to relate to us plebs. That's humorous. I don't get lost on the fact that he's worth $500 million.
Sure. You know,
but what he said was absolute truth. I think part of the delusion today is, you know, we know that our money has been destroyed in the sense of you remove the gold standard, you destroy the buying power, you start the income tax, and then you force both husband and wife into the workforce. Now you have dual taxpayers, you know, and we know that this has been the long game, but what we have been able to demonstrate is it is more than possible to raise a family of 6 on one income. Now, that requires a lot of sacrifice and different things like that. But we've been able to demonstrate that it's possible. We've been able to demonstrate that it is possible to do that and remain debt-free and also accumulate assets and real estate and different things like that. And I just thought it was a great topic. And I figured since I had an expert witness that I could interrogate, thought I'd bring you on the podcast and we could talk about it.
Thanks for the intro and the flattery. And it does earn you points. So I appreciate the flattery at this point.
You know me, I am a man of many words.
Yes. So before you got on to Baphomet, you were going to lose me there. So I was glad you tailed it there. Yeah. I think that In the few words that were said there between that interview with Tucker, he said a lot in those few words. And I think what he was getting to was that there's a deeper root cause. You know, everybody wants to talk about root cause, right? Root cause health problems and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, we do have this cognitive dissonance when it comes to the differences between male and female and God's creation, which is, you know, for the most part, totally out the window today. Although there is a great revival I see online, especially with, you know, truth is self-evident. And a lot of these different creators are bringing all of that back around. You know, women, there are a remnant there that are coming back around, especially these younger generations too, a self-evident truth that we are created very, very differently, uniquely different, hormonally different. Our brains are different. The way we handle stress is different. Behaviorally, we are different. We're just different in every aspect, every down to our genetics, like everything about male and female is so different. And I think that gets lost in our society today so much. And it can even get lost on people that are very conservative minded because the social structure and the narrative is that we are the same. And that's so false. And so when you think about root cause health issues, like the scenario of this 40-year-old woman coming into a doctor's office, you know, yeah, she might be magnesium deficient and salt deficient and zinc. And, you know, everybody wants to take a pill. Give me a basket of vitamins and I'll fix my problem. But the deeper root cause issues are that we are functioning against nature.
We are defying our gender roles.
Right. We're out of what is natural.
Created order.
And that's what Tucker was saying, that it would not be natural for any creature in creation, let alone human beings, to be separated from their children all day long and to compartmentalize their life the way that we have, whether it's leaving and going to an office or whatever. We're so detached from what is natural. And when you get back to what is natural, a lot of these third world countries still have pretty good handle on it, funny enough.
Yeah, and unfortunately, within postmodern Christianity has bent to the winds of society on this, with this egalitarian, communitarian idea, and they've even like backmasted it into their theology, and just the hatred and painting the patriarchy like a tyrant, right? And despising the patriarchy and inserting the Shekinah as God's feminine spirit. And this is why men and women were created. All these different terrible theology, and a lot of them, yeah, I won't go down that rabbit trail, but, you know, it's all been interwoven. And people of faith and people of the Bible, truth has become so subjective that they've been to this. And it's largely done on emotionalism, because I can already read the comments. I can already read the comments. My husband died, right? Or my husband, he beat me and he divorced me and he left me with the kids. And look, God knows. God is sovereign. God is in control. He's completely aware of our circumstances and what goes on. But just because our circumstances are a certain way, that does not refute absolute truth.
Right, absolutely. And I would say that in deconstructing the patriarchy, what we've simultaneously done at the same time is that we've deconstructed women. And in hating on men, the real underlying root there is hating on women. And, you know, asking women to do equally what is expected of men, and then
very demeaning to women, in my opinion.
And raise, birth, create, nurture children. And I mean, it's an unrealistic expectation, like Tucker was saying, and it doesn't happen. I mean, are there exceptions to that rule? Of course, yes. Like my husband was saying, there's definite exceptions to every rule. But when you look at the structure and you look at that root cause and you say, wow, everything in our culture is flipped, turned upside down. It's against nature. What would be natural? What would be natural is how women are created mentally, hormonally, psychologically, behaviorally. Every single atom in our body is created to grow children, to be pregnant, to birth children, to nurture children, to raise them up, to rear them up, right? And when that focus is right, that's sacrificial in our culture. It's a sacrificial focus. I would say it's sacrificial in every culture. I mean, it really requires all of you to do that.
Yeah. And we're, you know, none of this DEI stuff could have ever happened or even been postulated if men and women hadn't left their natural use, and if Christianity as a postmodern whole hadn't abandoned their moorings and their foundations. None of this stuff could even happen. And now I know, you know, there's this great hopium and there's all this political goodness that's, they're just going to, with a technocratic or a executive order, this is all going to vanish into the ether and all these proponents are going to magically disappear and all this stuff. But the stark real reality of it is the reason it happened in the first place, you know, and now girls' sports are going to be better because dudes aren't in girls' sports. When the real question is why are there girls' sports?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, there's just so many different areas that this flows into to unpack. But, you know, I think for our family, right from the get-go, you know, we had experienced the opposite. We did everything that the world told us to do. We got the degrees. We did the jobs. We did the dual income. We did all of those things. And then as the Lord revealed his truth to us and his order to us, and we stepped out in faith and it's a fearful thing. I mean, it was all new to us. We didn't have that, you know, example really. So we had some examples on both sides of our family, but not anything right there in front of us. But yet we were willing to trust the Lord in it. And we did have a couple families that we had found that we could look to and say, wow, I like the end result there. Like, I don't want to be a clone of that family necessarily. I don't want to be cookie cutter of that family. Couldn't be even if we tried, but I like the end result. The end result is, wow, their children did not go through rebellion. Wow, their relationship seemed to get stronger and stronger as their children went through the teen years and then into young adulthood. And wow, look at them. Like, These are trees planted by the rivers of water. Look at these young men. Look at these young ladies. They are cornerstones. Like, wow, that's what we want and desire. And they did this on a single family income. How do we do that?
And that's why I want to talk about it, because just like you were saying, while we had a very minority handful of people that were demonstrating this, we never received any counsel or opinions that even remotely hinted at the fact that we should do this. You know, you get the platitudes, oh, y'all should wait 5 years to have kids, get your college out of the way, get good jobs so that you have a good income so that you can afford your 2.3 children and all this stuff. And it was incredibly mainstream. It was incredibly devoid of scripture. You know, we had to fumble our way through that, which is why I want to talk about it. I want to celebrate truth. I want to celebrate what God has done. I'm barely smarter than a rock, y'all. And my wife is much smarter than me. And I usually don't flatter my wife that much because that's just not the kind of person I am. And well, I don't want to say flatter because I think flattery is not a good term. You know, y'all can see what my wife has accomplished and what, by the grace of God, we've been able to accomplish together, which is why I want to talk about this, because it's incredibly important to demonstrate truth. And I was doing some financial legacy planning last week, and I said, our family's goal is to demonstrate truth. And this is like our life mission, and where by the grace of God, we've been able to demonstrate this. This is just an illustration. This is just an anchoring point or something that somebody can point to and say, hey, look, they did it. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to go to college and get a degree like my wife did, or you're going to go into the financial planning field and then start entering control. You know what I mean? There's not a formula. There really is never a formula for anything, y'all. Okay. There's not a checklist. There's not 12 character traits. There's not a checklist to do any of this. But one thing I do know, I know that if you seek to honor and glorify God, if you recognize exclusive objective truth, which is the Word of God, the 66 books of the Bible, and you hold that completely, absolutely objective standard as your center point, and you try to base all of your life off of that, what you will find is that the word is true. And so if you apply that truth, it won't return void and it will come back a hundredfold. And that's not like a prosperity gospel thing. That is an absolute truth. And that's why we seek to organize our life around that, like as far as giving an inheritance to your children's children. You know, that's two generations, and that is a command, and there's a promise with that as well. And if you're not doing that, you know, you could say, oh, well, you know, I work at the dollar store and I make $8 an hour and, you know, I can't do that because I have asthma or whatever. There's always reasons why you can't do things that you need to do. But the truth, it doesn't change the truth.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that what we saw back when our first son was born, like we just got really, really purposeful in what we wanted the end result to be. And anything that went towards that goal and that picture, we would do it. And anything that took away from that picture of that goal, we had to take that out of our life. We could not allow those things to distract, you know, or deviate us or our children from that end result, from that end goal. And it's the same even today that, you know, there are things that try to creep in or attitudes or just thought processes that might try to detract from those goals. But then you have to be so hyper focused and so hyper just diligent,
vigilant
yeah. in your role. And so some areas, you know, that I tried to focus on as a wife was, of course, you know, financially, you know, living on a single family income. I just took it on as a challenge. My husband challenged me to live way below our means, way below our means. And, you know, I thought, well, what? Let me see how much I can get rid of. Let's see how little paper products we can use. Let's get rid of anything disposable. You know, we did cloth diapers. I mean, we did cloth napkins. We did cloth everything. You know, if we didn't need it, we did not buy it and use it. And I order in bulk food. And I had a good friend, a girlfriend back then, and she also came from the career world and purposefully decided to be a stay-at-home mom. And she just said, I look at it like it's my job. Like I just tackle every single day. Like, this is my mission. This is my job. And I'm just going to learn this thing and do this thing to the best of my ability. And that really, really motivated me that, you know, it wasn't just me dilly-dallying putzing around the house anymore. It was like, wow, let me learn this thing. Like, let me really learn how to cook from scratch. Let me really learn how to budget and get things all the way down to the brass tacks. Like, let's really just take this thing by the horns and, you know, see how modest we can be in our, you know, home furnishings and our, you know, our vehicles and our expenditures and things like that. That was a big challenge of mine. And then the other part that I feel like I still, you know, really, really try to hyper focus on, and it's self-sacrifice, you know, it's sacrifice every single day, but is building those relationships. You know, you can't be lazy in the relationships with your children. You just have to. There's no room for a lazy parent and lazy in discipline. You know, I'll just give the toddler their way and I'll discipline them later. You know, no, I want to just go and do this by myself and I'll spend time with my 8-year-old later. No, it has to be all the time on purpose, intentional. You know, my little girl said today, you know, I want to go for a walk with you, mama. I really want to go for a walk by myself. But I said, no. You want to go for a walk? Yep. Come on. You go for a walk with me. Do you want to go too? I said to my little 5-year-old, you know, you want to go with me too? I really wanted to go for a walk by myself. You know, I've been with them all day long. You know, I stayed up with a sick child last night, you know, but it's that purposeful, intentional building that relationship constantly. Because if I say, no, I want to go for a walk by myself, you know, that cuts. That hurts, you know, and it does something to that relationship. Not that there's not boundaries in place for certain times, you know, but like if I said to my husband, hey, I want to go for a walk with you. And he said, no, I just want to be by myself. Like that hurts that relationship.
Yeah. You only get one day today. You get today, you know, and once you use it, it's gone. So, and your adversary the devil roameth about seeking whom he may devour. The war is a daily battle against a real adversary mm-hmm. that wants to chew you up mm-hmm. and defecate you out. And that sounds crass, but that's exactly what's being referenced. And he will chew you up and spit you out. He doesn't want to make you ineffective. He wants to destroy you.
Yeah, and destroy your family, you know. And we had a beautiful walk, and we ended up taking lots of pictures together, and we made some really great memories just on our little walk. And it wasn't that long even. But just in those little decisions, those things that you don't think really matter, they do. Like it's all cumulative. It all builds, you know, one thing on the next. So that's what I would just say, you know, and Tucker really just hit the nail on the head. And I just listened to Nisha Berry. She did a vlog, I think it was just a little bit ago. And she was saying that her little ones, you know, they get in the kitchen and they want to cook with her and do things. And there's times where she just doesn't want to let them because they're going to make a mess and whatever. But she said, then I just have to remind myself, this is all I do. This is all I do. So what if they make a mess? This is basically what she said verbatim. I'm home. I'm here all day long. Like, let them make a mess. What does it matter? If it takes me however long to clean it up, what does it really matter? This is my whole purpose. This is what I'm doing right now, is raising these two little children, you know? And how beautiful and how wonderful that is when you can, you know, remove that burden from the mother to just be in her natural state as a mother. And it removes all that pressure. You know, she doesn't any longer have to bear the burden that the man bears. You know, she can just nurture and raise and disciple those children.
Yeah. And what's the fruit of that? We don't have depressed children on SSRIs that are in a public school system that are being bullied and picked on, that are writing manifestos and questioning what gender they are, and then supposedly finding a firearm and doing the unthinkable at the bidding of the deep state and all these different things. You know, you can completely eradicate, you know, all the systemic failure just by a return to sound, fundamental, biblically sound gender roles. It's so disturbing that we have to use term like gender roles, because gender role is really kind of like an oxymoron. It is definitely a postmodern word, because in the beginning, God created them male and female. And God goes over and over again. I mean, why do you think God keeps repeating that? And it's because there's nothing new under the sun, and what they've done in the past, they'll do in the future. And we see history doesn't always repeat itself, but it does always rhyme. And we're watching this over and over again. And you watch the collapse of the society, and, you know, and so we want to encourage you. We want, to the best of our ability, demonstrate truth, show you what it's all about, feathers, guts, and all. We're not Pinterest, Instagrammy people. We don't use filters or anything like that. We try to just bring it real and raw, and it is what it is. And that's the way we like to do it, because that's relatable to people. I mean, some people want to be entertained and they want everything to have the perfect light aspect ratio and have all these filters, and everything should look like a unicorn flying down a rainbow, you know, throwing out gummy bears and all that stuff. But, you know, that's not real and that's not reality. But we do want to encourage you to what is possible, and God is true and every man is a liar. And it is absolutely in 2025, with hyperinflation, with the BRICS and de-dollarized dollar and no more petrodollar and all these different things, it is still possible for a able-bodied man to make enough income to raise a family debt-free, and for the wife to be the mother and teacher and trainer and educator, and provide an exemplary education that in turn creates incredibly responsible and productive young man. All I need to do is refer you to tomorrow morning's premiere video that's going to drop. That is absolutely tremendous. And if you are jonesing for some classic Texas boys, it's coming at you. We just want to continue to demonstrate truth. We want to encourage. We want to answer questions. We want to do the best that we can with what we've been blessed with. I have this overwhelming, I get up at 4 or 5 o'clock every morning and I try to go outside before the sunrise and I look up and I have this overwhelming gratitude that I have been blessed. And what if there was some way that I could bottle this or package it 10 minutes, if there was some way that I could give this to you.
Right. And I think it speaks just so much of the order of things too, you know, is just that you're free to provide and to hyper focus on provision and also discipling our children. Because I'm handling a lot of the things, you know, that you don't have to worry about handling. You know, you don't have to worry about providing the food, gathering up the food, cooking the food, managing the pantry, helping me clean the house.
We don't share responsibilities. And it's because if you are going to be if you're going to be the sole breadwinner, it requires an inordinate amount of effort and time. Mm-hmm. And it's not that cleaning is not beneath me, all as individuals that you want to be cleanly and clean and sanitary and all these things. Cleaning is not beneath me. It's not because it's woman's work. It's my wife's work. She does it so that I can go produce exceeding abundantly above and beyond what I need to, so that all of our needs can be met. And see, when I'm doing my job and she's doing her job synergistically together, we create abundance. And there's lots of parallels there, whether it's progeny, whether it's financial, whether it's just time factors, you know. And me as the man, I have to let her, you know, she has her domains that she's exclusively responsible for. And I don't like area rug gel. We have lots of area rugs, okay? That's not my domicile. That's not my domain. I just have to buy the area rugs. And I'll protest a little bit, but it's fine. It's an area rug. And they'll get thrown out and different things. Okay, I won't go down the rabbit trail. Anyway, I have to buy dressers for every room in the house. But it's okay because it works. And it makes my wife's castle a comfortable yes. place for her to do all the things that she does so well so that she can perform optimally and so that she likes where she is, you know, and she can. And when we do that together in concert, we create abundance and it lets me leave and go and sell and do and generate the referrals and do all these things. And while I'm doing that, I don't have to worry about, oh, well, I wonder what's going on with this. I wonder what we're going to eat for dinner. I wonder, you know, if I'm going to have clean clothes tomorrow. And when I come home, it's like, well, honey, I need help. You know, I've been with the kids all day, so I need help doing this, that, and the other. Just super honest, y'all. It doesn't work like that. It shouldn't work like that. It didn't work like that for like hundreds of years for a reason, because if you understand your roles and your responsibilities, and you take responsibility for what you're responsible for, it works exponentially. And I realize there's going to be lots of shrieking and everything. I realize that is cognitive dissonance for a very large segment of society. It doesn't change the truth. And, you know, don't knock it until you try it.
Right. Yeah. The traditional roles work. And you can look at other countries, even, you know, pagan third world countries, and still traditionally they have very, very distinct male and female roles, and it works. It just, it really does. And especially in our country where we are so blessed, you can just see through history, historically, how it has just more than worked, but abounded in just amazing people. It's just created that husband-wife relationship, that married, secure husband-wife, very distinct roles. It has created just some amazing people over history. And that's all we wanted for our children. We wanted them to stand on our shoulders and just be able to reach and do and achieve anything that they can imagine to do. And we've definitely instructed them in these things, and not just given them the instruction on these things, but really, really studied these things out and try to disciple them through it and give them all the examples and the reasons why and talk through it, because the culture is so strongly against it, but yet it is true. And even in your health, like Tucker was saying, it comes out in your health when the roles are not right. So,
and you know, historically, when you study like the founding fathers and the fact that, you know, at the age 14, they were ambassadors to foreign countries and could speak five languages fluently, right? And I realize they didn't have a TV and they didn't have the internet, but these amazing men, or these mountain men, these frontiersmen, these Kit Carsons and all of these men that were, in from a modern day perspective, superhuman, people of an immense integrity. And they performed incredible feats of strength and resilience and integrity and just grit and character. All of these adjectives that are completely lost in this postmodern jelly donut wasted, you know, boxer brief with, you know, pink underwear society, and just this mealy mouth. It's what's created this Trump effect, and why he's so revered is because somebody that talks straight and someone that is type A aggressive and masculine, and this is part of creating the dichotomy to hate the patriarchy, it's this reinforcement. And it's because there's such a dearth of leadership, there's such a dearth of character and integrity, and your yes being yes and your no being no. And as husband and wife, hey, I got to go do my job so that you can do your job. And I can't do my job if you don't do your job, and vice versa. She can't do her job if I don't do my job. That is very much a synergistic relationship that necessitates the use of each other in our roles and in our places where we are designed to thrive. And what do you know when you do that? That's when it's the melody and the harmony. It's music. It's not the contemporary Christian droning of the repetitive, you know, pop, whatever, right? It's the harmony and the melody. It's the Mozart, it's the Bach, it's the Beethoven, and it's the Baroque, and it's beautiful. And it's enrapturing. I mean, it is like, wow, that's incredible. And guess what? That's not modern. And it's beautiful. And that's just what we want to share. That's what we want to demonstrate. And we want to demonstrate truth.
And I would say, if you're not in a place geographically where you can live on a single family income, right? Say you stripped it all down to the bare bones and the brass tacks, and you're like, yeah, wow. Like, even without the sports and without the whatever you, the big vacations or whatever you do, even without all those things, you know, the fancy cars or whatever, two cars, right? Even if we went down to one vehicle, even if we did all this, you know, we just could not afford it here. Well, then you need to move.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, you have to prioritize, and you have to be so honed in on your vision and so willing to sacrifice anything else that, like, I mean, if it became impossible for us or for our children to to live on a single family income here, I would hope and pray that they would be willing to forsake everything and go to another country and be able to set up shop and live on less and do less to keep that godly order intact, because that's where the blessing is. That's where the unity is. That's where the abundance is. It comes from that. That's where the future of your children, raising children with integrity and with character, it all just comes from that. So if you can't do it where you're at.
And it's a great reason why we need to abolish property taxes.
Yeah.
That was just a side note.
But if you can't do it where you're at, I mean, it's the beginning of the year still. It's still January. That's a great thing to pray about. That's a great goal to make, you know, hey, we can't do it here. Hey, the taxes are too high here. The cost of living is too high here. Well, then that's something that you really, really need to get on your radar if your goal is to raise that next generation of leaders. You know, it's going to require total sacrifice in everything you got, namely time.
Yeah. And then after all this, we've been rethinking our thinking and, you know, integrating private family banking and what next level we can do financially to plan as far as estate planning and legacy planning and all of these different things to kind of take it to the next level. And these are the type of things as you put things in order and as you synergize and as your wife becomes more efficient and effective, and as you become more efficient and effective as a husband and provider and a leader, you can, once you become more effective, you can continue to rethink your thinking and say, okay, now what's the next step? What do we do now? You know, and that's currently where we are now. And we're revisiting lots of things and redesigning and thinking the way we do lots of things. And it's incredible. It's very, here's a takeaway for you, because if you're newly married and you're barely squeaking by, or you've been married for 30 years and you're barely squeaking by and you're hearing us drone on and you're just like, this is just la, 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 right? Because when you're at the bottom, right, and you're listening to this kind of stuff, you're like, never in a million years, that could never happen. Like, I could never do that. We could never accomplish that. And I mean, we were there. We were there in the microscopic apartment, right? And everything in that apartment came with the apartment, including the utensils. And we could barely pay the rent, right? And you had to walk up 3 flights of stairs.
Both of us working.
Could barely pay the rent. We tried to get a bigger apartment. Yes. And we met with the landlord and he wrote out a spreadsheet and he was like, there's no conceivable natural way that you should be able to pay the rent you're paying now, let alone pay me more than you're paying now. You can't afford this, you know? And I mean, we were there. And then we went from that to some success with a large home and a business, right? And then 11 years ago, put the reset button and started at zero from nothing with nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Beans and rice.
And in 11 years to get where we are now, and, you know, I'm not Elon Musk or anything, and praise the Lord, I don't want to be anything like Elon Musk. You know, I'm not some, high flyer, baller or anything, but to see what is possible in 11 years from zero to 11 years and what is potentially possible is absolutely amazing. And it's an encouraging. And the only reason I bring it up is I can tell you what's possible in 11 years. And we were debt free by 4 or 5 years in. So in just 4 or 5 years, you can be debt free from a lot of debt to debt free. And then from 5 to 10, you can accumulate property, accumulate capital, and then deploy capital and help deploy capital for your children and make loans to them and all these different things. So much is possible. Everybody wants to always talk about the sky is falling and did you know this and did you know that and hyperinflation and this is terrible. But what is possible is absolutely amazing and incredible. And we're going to continue to demonstrate that by the grace of God. That's our life mission, and that's what we're going to do. And this has been a conversation. Is in closing, Faith, any parting thoughts? What do you, anything else that you want to leave with the audience?
No, I don't think so. I think just having that vision, not being afraid to step out on faith, pray about it, seek the Lord on it, and just a desire to follow in a natural, to live in a natural way, and to really study that out and not be afraid to go against the grain, go against the culture, go against your family if you must, and just walk out on faith and, you know, live that out. It's so possible. And it's so possible just to have a simple little debt-free life and raise that next generation. And it doesn't have to be fancy or blingy or anything. Ours certainly is not still to this day. And you know what? Our treasure, our legacy is our, that is our treasure.
God has convicted me, like I'm convicted. We are very capable of buying a brand new large vehicle, expensive vehicle with cash. And I refuse to do it because it's offensive to me. I don't want to be that person. And that, and if you've done that, that's good. I mean,
we've done that too.
Yeah, we've done it. Yeah, I've had the sports car, all that stuff. And
yeah, we've done
and
that
I would
too.
Never do it again. Yeah. Now that we are in the best financial position that we've ever been in our lives, I would not do it. It's
right.
It's not worth the future value. It's not worth the loss of investment return
right.
for the sake of like a status symbol. And I won't even, you know, there's a lot of guys that'll make excuses for, oh, my wife needs a dependable car and I just don't want to have to worry about it. I'm not that guy. I'm not doing it.
Going into another podcast, sir. But living below your
But speaking to your vision, stop right now. Stop right now. Take out a piece of paper and write down the 10 things, y'all. Your life just changed. If you'll do it, it's as simple, and it's not metaphysical. It's not mystical. There's something to that action.
So stop right now and write down your goals. And I promise you, you will be amazed in 12 months. When you review those goals. I'm not really sure what just happened to our feed. We had some technical difficulty, but we were wrapping this up anyway. We love and appreciate y'all. This is a value for value proposition. If y'all love and appreciate what we do, go on over to thetexasboys.com. Check out our new coffee line, our honey. We just added decaf coffee for Faith. So that's a Swiss process. Water process decaf coffee. So if any of y'all have decaf coffee, and we do have the pods or K-cups available, so check that out. And I hope y'all have a blessed day. We'll see you on the next show.